This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, December 16, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Microsoft is taking steps to build a data center on land in Kent County's Gaines Township, requesting rezoning to support the project, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
In October 2024, Microsoft bought more than 300 acres from office furniture maker Steelcase for $45 million, then purchased a smaller adjacent piece of land on Patterson Avenue near 76th Street. Now Microsoft is requesting rezoning for the smaller parcel from large-scale planned unit development to light industrial. Together, they can be used for a data center. Dan Wells is the Gaines Township Community Development Director.
We've had some very general discussions, and we understand that that's their intent, but we haven't been provided with any specific plans.
Statewide, data centers have become controversial. However, in Gaines Township, where Switch has been operating one for nearly 7 years at the former Steelcase Pyramid Building, Wells says residents are accustomed to industrial use and data center concerns.
The area is connected to utilities, like I said, and so the pyramid itself used about 10 million gallons of water last year. Sounds like a lot, but if you put that in perspective, one of our local car washes used about 7.5 million gallons last year, so it's a little bit more than, say, a car wash.
He says the township has benefited from the taxable value and expects an additional data center will provide similar impact. The Township Planning Commission is hosting a public hearing on the rezoning request Thursday, December 18th. I'm Dee Morrison.
East Grand Rapids has been awarded a $500,000 grant for improvements to Waterfront Park. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us what those funds will be used for.
The funding will go towards the second phase of East Grand Rapids Waterfront Park Improvement Project. Officials say upgrading the park that runs along Reeds Lake Boulevard has been a priority for years. Planned improvements include restoration and enhancement of woodlands and wetlands, expansion of the visitor parking lot, construction of trails and boardwalks, development of scenic overlook decks, and the creation of an outdoor classroom area. The second phase is designed to strengthen connections between existing sections of the park completed in Phase 1 and enhance 11 acres of natural recreation space while expanding sustainable and ADA-accessible opportunities for the community. In a statement, East Grand Rapids Parks and Recreation Director Derek Melville said, quote, "With these funds, we can move forward with design work and community input in 2026 as we prepare for construction, which could potentially begin as early as 2027, end quote. The city was awarded the $500,000 grant from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Land and Water Conservation Fund. I'm David Limbaugh.
What Kentwood City leaders call the eyesore on Settlers Pass is coming down. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they have condemned the partially built home and hired a demolition company.
It's rotting. It's an eyesore. The neighbors have been screaming for 7-8 years to take it down.
Jim Kirkwood, the Kentwood Director of Engineering and Inspections, tells the City Commission the property owner began construction of the home at 5260 Settlers Pass in 2014.
The property owner started this 11 years ago. He died. The new property owner got it, I think, at auction and was going to continue, but still has not.
Kirkwood says the new owner is out of the country and the city has run out of patience with unkept promises.
He's been in Africa, keeps telling us that he's going to be coming back next month, fails to do so. So we finally condemn the property.
All won't be lost. The demolition company is planning to reuse some of the wood beams.
These are 8x8s and 10x10s, so they can shave off 2 inches of rotted wood and get to some good wood below. So they're gonna repurpose some of the wood.
The city will bill the property owner for the $27,000 demolition cost.
It's so unsafe.
It's unsafe. You don't want to go in there.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Grand Rapids Public School teachers are officially working under a new contract today after the Board of Education unanimously approved it at Monday's meeting. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The new contract between the Grand Rapids Public Schools and the Grand Rapids Education Association includes wage increases for this school year and the next. It was approved by the teachers' union Friday and the school board Monday. Teachers and staff will see an increase in the starting wage and improvements to the salary schedule, with raises ranging from $2,000 to $10,000 based on years of service and education level. Employees began work this fall without a contract and will receive their pay increases retroactively to the beginning of this school year. GRPS estimates that this 2-year contract represents an additional $10.4 million investment in educators, an increase of 11.8%. The parties also reached agreements on elementary planning time, teacher evaluations and discipline, insurance contributions, class size compensation, and other benefits. I'm Dee Morrison.
Corewell Health and the Grand Rapids Fire Department are partnering on a six-month pilot program. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us they're integrating a full-time community health worker into their emergency response teams.
Can we get people the right type of care rather than always sending the big fire truck?
Brad Brown is chief of the Grand Rapids Fire Department. He says the initiative aims to reduce preventable emergency room visits and redirect 911 calls to the appropriate level of care by connecting residents to social supports and other resources.
Corewell is providing expertise in navigating a lot of different wraparound services. We just don't have that expertise.
The GRFD responds to over 17,000 medically related calls annually, with many of those calls rooted in social challenges rather than medical emergencies. Senior Director of Healthier Communities West at Corewell Health, Kaylee Peterson.
We know that we cannot do or be all to all, and we really need these partnerships and have been so thrilled with just how collaborative this has been, truly dedicated around a shared why, and have every confidence this really will be a success.
Corewell Health and the GRFD say the initiative represents a first-of-its-kind model for community health and safety in West Michigan. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at how Catherine's Health Center is expanding in Grand Rapids, but first, news from around the state. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says the top priority for her final year in office will be improving Michigan's dismal student literacy scores. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Michigan is in the bottom half of the U.S. in high school graduation rates and in math and reading proficiency. Whitmer told the Michigan Literacy Summit that reading is foundational to learning, and she set a lofty goal.
Our mission is as big as it is simple. Every child reads, not some. Not most. Every child reads.
The second-term Democratic governor says she'll lay out details next year in her final State of the State address and budget proposal. Whitmer says it will take more than 1 year to achieve that goal, but outlined actions by her administration to push toward it, including universal preschool. I'm Rick Pluta in Detroit.
A Michigan child care program could become part of the basis for federal policy. We have more from Colin Jackson.
The My TriShare program splits the cost for child care between the state, eligible working families, and participating employers. Democratic Grand Rapids area Congresswoman Hillary Skolton says it's been going well since it launched in 2021 as a pilot. She and a Republican colleague have introduced a bill to take it nationally by giving states, including Michigan, federal funding for their programs. Skolton says it's a better way to provide a social safety net.
By diffusing the cost over three different participants and payers, you create a more stable model that we hope will have long-term staying power and, you know, parents, employers, and again, the state can rely on it.
In Michigan, adoption of the program has been slow but steadily rising. The bill would pilot the program federally for 3 years. I'm Colin Jackson.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Nonprofit Catherine's Health Center is expanding healthcare options in Grand Rapids to treat both the unhoused and residents. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with CEO Megan Erskine about a new mobile health van and an expanded clinic in the city's Hartside district.
Catherine's Health Center is a community health center, a nonprofit health center, and we primarily serve low-income patients. And about 2 years ago, we really moved into the healthcare for the homeless space. And the way that we practice healthcare for the homeless was going into trusted organizations, churches, shelters to provide healthcare services in what we like to call right time and right place. And so we were going to Crossroads Bible Church, we were going to Degage, we were going to AYA, in Mel Trotter for a day a week. And ultimately, in talking to other organizations like the Grand Rapids Public Library, Exodus Place, we realized that we could probably go more places to provide services. And so we wrote a grant and we're very fortunate to receive funding to purchase a mobile van that allows us to go to more places during the week. We do a consistent schedule, and why we feel like that matters is because we practice relationship-based medicine. And so we try to give people a sense of where we'll be. So we're we're essentially their medical home on wheels. We're a primary care, integrated care provider. And while we believe in convenience care and providing acute care, we really want to build relationship with patients. And you can get a medical home experience outside of a brick and mortar clinic. And I think we've really learned that over the last 2 years. And so, yeah, the van is going out in the world and meeting people where they're at.
And we've expanded services at the clinic as well.
Yes. So when we think about the clinic at Mel Trotter, we sort of see that as the hub or anchor. It's open 40 hours a week. We have medical services there, but we also have dental services there, behavioral health services, and case management services. So that's just a regular old doctor's office in the shelter. This is a really, really big deal because it allows us, again, to have a medical home for people experiencing homelessness, but it's also open to the community. So Heartside residents can also access care there. And if we think about that clinic as the hub or the anchor, then our street medicine van or a mobile van really becomes the spokes. And so we know that not every person experiencing homelessness is going to walk through a brick and mortar clinic or go to an exam room, but we also know that there's going to be some coordination between populations that are using the clinic or are using other resources in other resource centers, or if they're living in places not meant for human habitation. And so both of these methods are sort of an ecosystem of care for healthcare for the homeless. And we think that both are really essential in meeting the needs of our homeless community.
You mentioned writing a grant to receive some funding for the mobile unit. Is your funding at this point secure? Are we concerned with changes in federal and state funding at this point?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Catherine's Health Center is fortunate in that we have a pretty diverse revenue stream, and we are dependent on federal grants and state grants. We're also dependent on philanthropy, grant making from foundations. But probably more importantly, and what we're sort of looking down the road towards for more negative impact, is cuts to Medicaid in the marketplace. And so while most of our patients are Medicaid, we know that impacts to tax subsidies for the marketplace are probably going to result in a higher uninsured population. Those are set to expire at the end of December of 2025. And then at the end of 2026, January 2027, we know that there's going to be Medicaid work requirements and more redetermination, which honestly is just introducing more administrative burden and red tape. And so people who are working or are volunteering or are students or have exceptions like disability and illness will likely fall off of Medicaid. And the impact of all of that and more people becoming uninsured is going to result in both a negative impact for Catherine's Health Center, but to our healthcare systems, to community mental health, to small businesses, et cetera. So when we think about funding, we are always looking for more grants and more philanthropy. The majority of our funding is Medicaid. And so becoming resilient and trying to find other ways to be sustainable and continue to offer these life-saving services is something that is very much on our mind.
I would assume places like Catherine's will have to shoulder more of the burden once people are off of Medicaid, as people drop off of coverage.
Absolutely. More uninsured individuals will use the emergency departments as hospitals as their regular care, and community health centers like Catherine's Health Center, Cherry, free clinics like Exalta. We're going to see more patients coming through our doors for primary care, which we will be here to serve them. That is our mission. That is our purpose. And because more uninsured patients will be coming through our doors, we are going to need to find ways to bring in more revenue, more foundation dollars, et cetera. Healthy people in a community is just better for everybody. It allows people to thrive and contribute to their communities, to be productive. When people are uninsured, we know that it impacts employment, it impacts school attendance, it impacts other things like paying for rent and childcare. An insured community is a healthy community. And so with these changes, we really need the community to come around and walk alongside some of these safety net providers.
Is that part of the change that we're looking at, the opening of the clinic to community as opposed to specifically Mel Trotter guests, looking ahead at the coming need and preparing for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Catherine's Health Center, we have four what we call brick and mortar clinics in Wyoming, in the Kentwood area, in the Creston neighborhood in Grand Rapids. And the Mel Trotter Clinic is another larger brick and mortar clinic that we have opened. And
You're exactly right in that we want to serve people who are guests in El Trotter. We want to serve other unhoused individuals. And we also know that there are Heartside residents that could benefit from a clinic that's in their neighborhood. I think what's special about this clinic is that we're going to keep it low barrier, low judgment, low bias, et cetera. And one of the ways that we can keep the clinic low barrier is offering walk-in appointments. Anyone who engages in primary care, even on a commercial insurance level, you know how hard it is to schedule an appointment sometimes, especially for like a wellness visit or your annual. And so we really just want to make it as easy and frictionless as possible. And that's what I think those walk-in appointments will be really welcome in the community. This is also a response to, there was a Heartside clinic in the Heartside neighborhood that closed like 5 years ago. And Mel Trotter, with the community and with other healthcare partners, opened this clinic to sort of fill the need. And so we at Catherine's Health Center acknowledge and are extremely grateful for what came before us. Being able to write a grant for operations and not for capital cost allowed us to go into the clinic 40 hours a week. And so I think that there's still a moral injury from the Heartside clinic closing. And I am so grateful to all of our healthcare partners and to Mel Trotter for putting the blueprint together so that Catherine's, once we were able to secure funding, was able to move in and provide a access point again to this neighborhood. I think that the co-location of a clinic and a shelter, I think it's true collaboration in that Mel Trotter and Catherine's Health Center are putting people and patients first. I think sometimes, you know, working with other organizations can be challenging, but when you look at the whole person and a person is not housing and they're not healthcare, separately, a whole person needs food, they need access to transportation, they need shelter, they need housing, and they need healthcare. And so the more that safety net providers in whatever industry they exist in can come together to integrate services and make it as easy and seamless as possible for individuals who are low income or in marginalized communities, the better. Just one-stop shop, I think, will yield better results and a better impact for our community.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, December 16, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.